Good morning, Your Honors. May I please reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal? May it please the Court, I'm Kevin March here on behalf of Hai Nguyen. Mr. Nguyen's first and second degree child molestations violated double jeopardy because the jury was free to base these convictions on the same acts that it based the child rape convictions. And the analysis here is controlled by this Court's decision in Land. And I quickly wanted to address the state's contention in this case that Land is not correct. The state argues that, but looking at the statutory definitions of sexual intercourse, which is what child rape is based on, and sexual contact, which is what child molestation is based on, they are the same in law and the same in fact. When
is sexual gratification an element of rape of a child?
It is when it is based on the statutory definition in 9A440101C. And that's because that definition of sexual intercourse incorporates the term sexual contact, and sexual contact then is in the line immediately following is defined in the statute as well. So our contention is that yes, sexual gratification, when a child rape and the sexual intercourse is based on oral genital contact, then yes, indeed, it requires a showing of sexual gratification based on the statutory definition. That is the holding of Land. It said that they were identical in law and identical in fact, and actually in Peña Fuentes, I believe footnote 3 in Peña Fuentes said that they were substantively identical crimes. So our contention is that this court should adhere to the Land decision and decline the state's invitation to revisit it. The crux of the issue in this case, though, is whether the state's argument alone can cure a double jeopardy violation, and the answer is no. Kier makes explicit that the answer to that question is no. And the trial court and the state here failed to provide clear jury instructions that ensured that the jury relied on separate and distinct acts for the rapes and for the child molestations. The instructions allowed the jury to use the same precise act for both. And as Ms. Swift stated in her case, The review that this court undertakes to determine whether the jury instructions allowed this is a review of the whole record, and it's the rigorous among the most strict reviews, and also the Much Court, I believe, framed it as a harmlessness, where this court has to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that no double jeopardy violation occurred. Here, the jury instructions permitted the jury to rely on the same exact acts. All the state did was suggest that the jury not do so and divide up conduct. In this case, under the facts of this case, there were no very specific detailed acts that the jury could have relied on. The testimony about the various acts was nebulous. There wasn't, like, on this date, X, Y, and Z happened. There was no when, where, and how that was specified to the jury. So the state couldn't have elected a specific act here to point to the jury, unlike Peña Fuentes.
Didn't Fuentes, the argument, discuss categories of conduct?
Well, the difference that we see in Peña Fuentes is that the specific acts that were at issue there were clear. There were two penetration acts, and then I believe three molestation acts. And it happened in this condo, and it was very specific and described in detail and relied on in detail by the state. And under that scenario, the court concluded that it was manifestly apparent that the jury that there was no double jeopardy violation because of the specificity of the acts the state relied on. This case is different. There is no specificity for any of the acts. It's all very nebulous. So it distinguishes this case from Peña Fuentes.
Where in the record, in closing argument, did the state blur the significance of the oral genital conduct apart from rape charges?
Well, the state actually, in this case, relied on the breast touching to form the basis for the molestations for both the first and second degree, and said everything else can form the basis for the rapes.
Well, the others are
oral genital contact, digital penetration, and one instance of penile penetration. So the state, it's not a question of what the state blurred or didn't blur. That was what the state suggested to the jury that it could use. But the jury was not required to follow the state's suggestion. And, in fact, the instructions indicated that the argument of counsel wasn't the law. The problem remains that the jury instructions still permitted this jury to convict Mr. Nguyen of both the rapes and the molestations using the same precise act, and that is, and
maybe I'm not tracking your distinction of Fuentes on that point.
Well,
Fuentes end up saying clear what categories they're talking about for which charge, and we have other, not in isolation, because we have this other indication. The defense is not focused on did multiple acts occur. Here, there's no.
Well,
the focus of the defense is credibility.
Well, we would distinguish Peñafuentes for two reasons. The first is that in Peñafuentes, the distinction was clear because the distinction was penetration versus other touching. And when that's the distinction, penetration versus other touching, there's no possibility that the jury could have relied on the same act. And then the other way that we're distinguishing it is, again, in Peñafuentes, the acts that the state relied on and the state argued, as well as the evidence that came out at trial, was very descriptive, very detailed, and because of that, it's completely different than the not detailed, not descriptive acts that the testimony in this case contains. We do not believe that Peñafuentes controls the result. We believe it's distinguishable on those two grounds. And we also, there's certainly tension between the Much decision, the Peñafuentes decision, and the Kier decision that needs to be resolved. Kier says that the prosecutor's argument alone cannot cure a double jeopardy violation. Here, there's nothing other than the prosecutor's argument that the state's relying on to cure the double jeopardy violation.
The focus of the defense on credibility doesn't matter?
Well, the focus of the defense wasn't solely on credibility, but also on the lack of details that the witnesses had as to the various acts. So in Peñafuente, although the defense didn't expressly say that the acts overlapped, the defense did suggest that it wasn't clear what the acts were, when they happened, etc. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amy Methling, Deputy Prosecutor, appearing for the state. I want to address first counsel's contention here at oral argument this morning that the Land decision stands for the proposition that when the conduct charged in a rape of a child count is oral genital contact, that sexual gratification is statutorily required. That is an argument that he has never made in this case prior to this morning. In fact, his briefing specifically states that it's the jury instructions that were given in this case that create the possibility of a double jeopardy problem. Land did not hold in any way that sexual gratification is an element that has to be proven by the state in a rape of a child case where the contact is oral genital. That is not what Land held. Land looked at the jury instructions, the specific way in which the jury was instructed in that case, and said, when the jury was given this definition of sexual contact for purposes of the child molestation count that talks about sexual gratification, and then they're given this definition of sexual intercourse for the rape of a child count that includes the words sexual contact, we can assume that the jury used that definition of sexual contact and imported it into the rape of a child instruction, and therefore the crimes are the same in law. But that analysis is flawed because whether or not the jury instructions allowed the jury to find that these the same act for both crimes does not answer the question of whether the legislature authorized that in the first place, because double jeopardy is a question of legislative intent. And if the legislature intends for multiple punishments for the same act, then it's okay for the jury to be instructed in that manner. So that begs the question. And so the land analysis, I respectfully disagree with it. I don't think it's accurate because the same elements test is what you look at to determine whether there's been a double jeopardy problem. You don't look at the way that the jury was instructed and say, well, it's possible that they reached this conclusion and therefore there's this, they're the same crime. You look at the elements, and sexual gratification is not an element of rape of a child. And in the absence of any contrary legislative intent, if you don't pass the same elements test, multiple punishments are authorized. Now,
does it matter that sexual gratification is not actually an element of the crime?
No, and when I say an element, I mean it in the sense that it would be something the state would have to prove as part of the definitional.
But if it's definitional, it's not an element. Then why wouldn't they be the? Why wouldn't there be a double jeopardy problem then?
Because the jury. Look at it this way. Just because the jury can read the instructions in an improper way, because I think we would all agree that if the charge was only rape of a child and there was no child molestation, you wouldn't be giving them this definition that involved sexual contact. And so they wouldn't have to prove, they wouldn't have to find sexual gratification.
Penetration issue, but if it's oral genital contact, you would give that instruction.
That's not true. I don't believe that's true, Your Honor.
Define sexual contact.
I don't believe I've ever seen a case. I have tried these cases before. I've never included the definition of sexual contact in a rape of a child case when you're talking about oral genital contact, because we all know that sexual gratification is not required for purposes of rape. If you commit the acts that constitute sexual intercourse, you are guilty whether your motivation is for sexual gratification or some other purpose. So when I say that it's an element of the offense, I simply mean that it's something the state has to prove as a portion of the definitional phrase sexual contact for child molestation.
Well, when we're applying the legal prong of double jeopardy, do we just look at elements or do we go behind the elements and start comparing definitions as well?
I think you can compare definitions. I think that's appropriate.
Do you have a case that does that?
That does not or that does?
That does.
Well, there's cases in terms of assault and robbery, if you look at those cases where you look at the particular manner in which the defendant committed the crime and which prong the jury is instructed on can certainly inform the question of whether the elements are the same. I don't disagree with that.
But aren't we lining up elements only when we're doing a legal prong analysis and saying, okay, is this element here? It's also here. This element's here and this is here. And so we would just line up the two convict instruction for each crime as perhaps given in the case where it's an instructional error that creates a double jeopardy, and if there isn't in one, we just line up the elements in the statute. Isn't that how we go about applying that prong?
I think that's correct. When I say that there are some cases that look to the defendant's particular conduct to determine a double jeopardy situation, it's usually in the context of merger. So it's somewhat different than what we're talking about here. The same elements test that we follow in this state, you do. You line up the elements. Are they different? Are they the same? And if they're different and there's not been some legislative intent to indicate otherwise, then we assume that multiple punishments are authorized. And just because the jury was instructed in a manner that allowed them to erroneously incorporate sexual gratification into rape of a child, it doesn't answer the question whether they were authorized to do so in the first place. Because if they were authorized to do so by the same elements test, then it doesn't matter whether they did that or not. I want to talk...
Aren't you conflating two steps of the analysis there? Don't we first line up the two convict instruction for the two crimes and see if they line up? And if they match, then we ask the question, well, did the legislature decide this was okay?
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying, Your Honor. The same elements test is contrary legislative intent trumps the outcome of the same elements test.
It's a separate prong of the analysis.
Yes, absolutely.
There's
and in this case,
prongs.
I agree. And I don't see in the land court did not discuss any legislative intent, contrary legislative intent, with respect to these two particular crimes, and it didn't discuss the holding in Jones, and it didn't discuss the holding in French. It looked to the holding. It looked to State versus Hughes, which compared elements essentially, and said that these elements are legally the same thing. I do want to talk very briefly, if the court is interested, in my last few minutes here about, because regardless of whether double jeopardy permits multiple convictions for child rape and child molestation, it was clear that that's not what we were seeking to do in this case. The state was not trying to punish Mr. Nguyen for child rape and child molestation for the same act. That wasn't what we were doing. There is no doubt from this record that the state was charging him with child molestation for the acts in which he fondled the victim.
Isn't the focus what was clearer to the jury than what, rather than what the state's intent was?
Yes, but what the state's intent was made it clear to the jury what they were to do in this case. So you have, first you have the testimony of the victim, because you don't, unlike counsel's assertion that all we have in this case is the state's election and closing argument, that's not accurate. We have clear testimony from the victim outlining multiple times that she was fondled by the defendant on her breasts, where there was no evidence of any sort of sexual intercourse that occurred, digital penetration, oral, nothing. And you have also clear testimony from her on multiple acts of oral genital contact, digital penetration, and one incident of penile penetration. So the testimony itself divided the conduct into acts that constituted molestation and acts that constituted rape of a child. So you have that. You also have the prosecutor's very clear closing argument, because there was no ambiguity in her closing argument. She said the child molestation is for the fondling of her breasts, and the rape of a child is for all of the penetration and the oral genital contact. There was no ambiguity in the prosecutor's closing argument. You also have the defense. The defense was challenging her credibility generally. It wasn't arguing about whether these incidents overlap. There was no argument that the molestation started out as fondling and then turned into penetration or other form of intercourse. So you have the defense argument being very clear. He said he was challenging the rape counts. It just didn't happen. He had admitted to the police that he had touched her, so he didn't have a lot of opportunity to refute that. But he focused on the fact that the rape counts and argued that they didn't happen. You also have the jury instructions themselves, and I understand that the jury instructions, you know, the separate and distinct act instruction was not given, but you have four separate to convict instructions. That wasn't the case in Borsheim, and that was significant for the court in Borsheim, because it said you have all these counts just in one to convict instruction, and that's confusing to the jury. You also had the jury here was instructed that they had to consider each count separately. Those instructions are not enough to cure a double jeopardy problem on their own, but they certainly can be taken into account when reviewing the entire record to determine whether there was an actual double jeopardy problem effectuated in this case. So if the court doesn't have any questions, I will cede my last 10 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you. So the state's claiming that the first time it's hearing about the legislative argument we're making is here in court, but from page one of the reply brief, I discussed the different elements of...
We normally don't allow you to raise an argument for the first time in a reply brief.
Well, we're relying on land.
Where is it in your opening brief?
I believe my discussion of land, I'm sorry I can't point the court to a page number in the opening brief.
Is it your contention you raised the argument in your opening brief?
I believe that land establishes that they're the same in law and fact, and land was obviously looking at the statutory elements to base its decision, as well as the jury instructions. So that was the first point I wanted to make. And the state claims also that it's not trying to punish Mr. Nguyen for multiple acts, but there are several tools at the state's disposal that it could have used to ensure that Mr. Nguyen is not facing double jeopardy violation. It's been more than 20 years now that this court has stated separate and distinct act's language needs to be included in jury instructions. So
the defense gets to propose instructions, too. Is there a motivation for defendants not to propose a separate and distinct act instruction so that this argument's available on appeal?
That might be, but under State v. Hood, I believe this court stated that the defense has no obligation to propose jury instructions, that it's entirely the state's burden, and that's consistent with due process principles.
Well, when the defense proposes instructions, should they be accurate statements of the law?
Of course, Your Honor. But again, here the state had an opportunity to provide proper instructions. It failed to do so. In addition, the state could have requested special verdict forms so that we would all know expressly what the jury did rely on, which acts the jury did rely on. The state opted not to go that route either. The fact remains that the jury could have relied on the same exact acts for the first and second degree child rapes and child molestations, and so we ask that the court vacate the molestation charges. Thank you.
Thank you.